In every generation, there are the chosen ones, the fanboys, the observers, the keepers of useless trivia. They alone must stand against the forces of television drama tropes. They are continuous play.
It's about power. Who's got it? Who knows how to use it? So, what do you guys want to do tomorrow?
Nothing strenuous.
Well, mini golf is always the first thing that comes to mind.
I think we could do better than that.
I was thinking about shopping, as per usual.
Oh, there's an R&B in the new mall.
I can use a few items.
How are we to discuss it? Save the world, go to the mall.
I'm having a wicked shoe craving.
Aren't you on the patch?
Those never work.
And here I am, invisible to the eye.
See, I need a new look. It's this whole eye patch thing.
The Earth is definitely doomed.
Welcome to Continuous Plays, The Art of Slaying, a Buffy the Vampire Slayer retrospective featuring Brian Thomas.
But I've known you were coming, I baked the cake.
And Jay Newcastle.
Are you ready to finish this?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer is the copyright of Fox Television Studios, and any discussion of the characters, episodes, or music is strictly for entertainment purposes only.
Welcome to The Art of Slaying, a Buffy the Vampire Slayer retrospective. I'm Jay.
And I'm Brian, and we're here to talk about Season 7, Episode 12, Potential, written by Rebecca Rand Kirshner. Buffy and Spike begin to train the Potential Slayers, teaching them that the smartest thing to do right now is run when confronted with a bad vampire, or demon. Willow performs a locator spell and discovers that another Potential is right under their noses at Sunnydale High. At first, we are led to believe that Dawn is the chosen one. She soon discovers that her friend Amanda is the one. Dawn helps Amanda fight off a vampire trapped in a school using chemistry supplies to set the bringers on fire and escape with Amanda. Xander arrives at the school with Buffy and Spike as the bringers attack in full force. Amanda keeps the bringers at bay and stakes the vampire that attacked her earlier while Buffy and Spike finish off the bringers. As Amanda rabbles on to Buffy about the strangeness she's dealing with, Dawn reveals that Amanda was standing outside the front door when she was hit by the aura cloud from Willow's spell. Amanda and the other Potential Slayers talk and bond about their successes with fighting the forces of darkness, while Dawn secretly watches from another room. While Buffy takes the other girls down to the basement for training, Xander catches on to Dawn's disappointment about not being a Potential. Xander confides in her how hard it is for him to be the powerless member of the gang, and he relates to Dawn's pain. He reminds her that she doesn't need to be special with powers. She's extraordinary just the way she is. In return, Dawn suggests that he does have powers. His ability to notice what's really going on in people's lives and with the people he loves, despite the barriers. And that is the plot summary, Jay, for Episode 12, Potential. We're led on a little goose chase here with the fact that they try to make us believe that Dawn is a potential, and we'll talk about that because I have major problems with that reveal. And we find a new potential in Amanda, and this is really the first time we've actually seen a potential in action in a fight, and what kind of powers they may possess that they don't even know about.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the whole idea here, I said last episode, where's Dawn been? Well, okay, we finally get a Dawnish episode now. So they do something with that, and we get to see a potential handle themselves. And, you know, we talked about last time that Buffy wanted to kill that vampire in front of them to give them more confidence and that kind of stuff. Well, I think it worked because they are certainly showing a lot more chutzpah than what they have before. And they're starting to get a lot more, extroverted is the word I'm looking for here with the way that they're carrying themselves and going about their training and all that kind of good stuff. I don't know. There's a lot of potentially interesting things that arise from this episode, if I just use the pun there.
Yeah, there are. It is definitely an interesting episode. Now, while I'm not a big fan of the fact that they try to make us believe that Dawn is a potential, overall, this episode has a lot of good in it. And so we'll get into that. But let's talk about the Dawn thing.
Let's.
First and foremost, Jay, Dawn is not a human. She is a mystically created being that takes the form of a human being, which is fine. So I guess she can be considered human now that she's no longer a key that opens anything. She's still a mystical force and had been created. So that said, she cannot be part of the Slayer line because she was not born into it. In my opinion, that's just me. So to try and make us think that this is the case, and to even cast the fact that she believes that this is the case, to me, is just plain silly.
Okay, there's two things there I want to talk about. One, the idea that she would even be in the line is ridiculous, yes. And I agree totally with you. It doesn't make any sense that there's nothing that would have ever led us to believe that, in the mythology. The other side of it, though, is what she believes. And I'll be honest with you. I've seen this episode a couple of different times for this review. And the first time I watched it, I had the same reaction you had and the same one I had the first time I saw it. I remember it vividly going, this is dumb. They shouldn't even be doing this. But the third time I watched it here and I looked at it, I said, I think what we're supposed to understand is that this is an episode really from Dawn's point of view, if you break it down. And in the back of her head, what she's doing is what every 15, 16-year-old girl will do when they see people around them develop differently, develop new powers, or new powers. Most high school girls don't see that happen. Develop, unless they're in the fantasy world that all their books live in now. But, they see people that advance a little bit further in school or with athletics and stuff like that, and they wonder, could that be me? Or maybe they have an older sibling that's really grown up and doing well, and they wonder, could that be me? I think what we're watching Dawn do is she's had it pumped in her head for 2 years now. Really, or at least a year and a half, since she's known the truth about herself, that, I don't care what they say, Summer's blood, you're my sister, all that stuff, right? You are a person. You are a human. She's had human experiences, all that kind of thing. I think in the back of her mind, it's like, well, you know what? Why not me? Why couldn't it be me? And I think what we're supposed to see is she doesn't realize how extraordinary she can be, and she doesn't need powers for it. She thinks that's what makes everyone extraordinary, and that whole end speech with Xander is what sells that. So to me, this is all about, it's not a realistic goose chase. I don't think we're ever supposed to believe it is, but it's, let's watch Dawn finally process this for herself once and for all, that no, I'm not a slayer, and I'm not going to be a slayer. How is she going to deal with that? And on that level, I actually kind of like it.
Yeah, I can see that. If you look at it in that way, I can see where you're coming from, and it makes some sense. But I didn't look at it that way when I was watching it. So for me, it was everyone was believing Donnie was a potential slayer, and they were all excited about this. And it was just like, if you think about it, no, there's just no chance. So, if it were sold a little better that way, I think I'd be a little more okay with it. But to me, it wasn't. And that drove me a little bit nuts. However, it's fun to see her, she has been training with Buffy, as we've noticed earlier in the season, to protect herself in case she were ever to go up against a vampire or a demon or whatever else. So that, they've kind of been building the fact that she could be, if needed.
Let's think about what has been happening here, Brian. Remember back to the end of last season. How did it end with Buffy? She and Dawn were trapped underground fighting the skeletons with some swords, right?
Yeah.
And she picked up a sword and was actually useful in that. And from then on, Buffy said, I'm never going to leave you unarmed again. So she's gone about, getting her ready to be in fights. If she's going to be a part of this, she's got to at least know how to take care of herself. I don't necessarily want, my little sister I don't have a little sister, what I'm saying. I wouldn't necessarily want, my little sister to, walk around with a loaded gun all the time. But if she's going to move to a big city by herself and stuff, I'd at least get her some pepper spray if I had one. You know what I mean? Like that's the idea, is let's at least be smart about this. And I kind of dug it. And I don't blame the rest of the group for going along with that, because they're, in a lot of ways, I think they're just humoring Dawn. And humoring her fantasy. I mean, that happens all the time with younger people. You don't really believe they're going to be able to do a lot of the things they set out to do, but you go along with it because it's all about the experience of them trying to do that, failing at it, and then learning how to bounce back from it and realize that it's really not that important. What's more important is that you learn along the way and stuff, right?
Sure. Yep, that makes sense. It was kind of neat to toy with the idea. It's just in my head, I'm thinking there's just no chance.
Yeah.
So, but to pay off the fact that we have been showing Dawn as trying to fight and whatever else was good. Mm-hmm. However, let's just move on, because that's just one part of the episode that I just had to gripe about a little bit, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's just a small piece. Well, I guess it's not a small piece. It's kind of a big piece.
It's the crux of the episode.
Yeah. What am I saying? But let's talk about how they do it, because it's interesting. They basically, Dawn gets pretty pumped up about the potential to be this Slayer and really starts believing in herself that she has these powers. And she is out walking around with a lot of confidence because she says, well, I'm a potential now, so if a vampire tries to attack me, no problem. I'll kick their ass, right? So she's walking around with all this newfound confidence, and she runs into Amanda, who's also walking around in the middle of the night. She's like, what are you doing walking around in the middle of the night, mm-hmm. right? And so they decide to walk together, and Dawn basically to protect her if anything were to happen and whatever else. They end up making their way to the school. Why? I don't know. But they end up getting to the school.
Go to your familiar places, man.
I guess. Yeah. And at the school, something's going on. Mm-hmm. And so Dawn decides we need to figure out what's going on because I can kick some ass now. And so she goes in with this Amanda, and lo and behold, a vampire is on the loose. Mm-hmm. Well, Dawn quickly realizes that she does not have any powers against this vampire when he starts going after her pretty good and basically kicking her ass. And so she's now in a very bad situation. And they're running around trying to find a hiding spot.
Well, she is, but she also uses the one thing she's got. You know, which is her ingenuity and knowing how to get out. Like, that I liked. The idea that she figured out how to get them out of there. If, you know,
absolutely.
What's the lesson they tell them right out of the gate? The best thing you can do right now is run if something's happening. And clearly Dawn has learned that along the way, too, and is listening. You know, yes. I dug that. I like that.
Oh, idea. I am. Using her ingenuity and her intuition, she's able to do everything she can to protect them and does a darn good job of it. And a brilliance, I thought, when she turned the gas on mm-hmm. in the science lab.
Yeah.
I mean, that took some smarts, and she found her way to it, got it on, and then waited for it to fill up enough where she could basically set some fire.
Yeah. Look, and fire mm-hmm. is always a good weapon if you can get a hold of it.
That's right. That's right. And all during this whole time, she finally notices something, that it wasn't her that was the potential. Mm-hmm. That this Amanda has the ability. And so as she's trying to save them from this vampire and doing everything she can, she's trying to convince Amanda that she has special powers to fight this thing, and she just needs to use them. And I thought it was just a very good scene and very powerful. And it just shows that she has some value to this team to help motivate, recognize things, you know, see things that maybe others aren't seeing, and using her brain and intuition to get out of sticky situations. And that's good, because Dawn needs something to go off of, and I think this is showing us what she's going to offer to the group besides sitting there reading books and finding things. Like,
mm-hmm. Well, she is the female Xander, is what she's yes. learning, is that she, you know, that's what she ultimately learns here, is that she is the younger, better looking version of him, you know. Yeah. And I mean, that's going to be her mm-hmm. role. You know, and look at Xander's early arc. You know, he was reading books. He tried to figure things out, too. But really, when did he become really useful? Is yeah. when he figured out, you know, I can build stuff. I can do this. And moreover, I can always encourage and lift people up. And that's yeah. what he does. Yeah. And so I think that's what she's doing here. This is all about Dawn becoming what she's supposed to become, more so than I think it is about discovering Amanda is a new Slayer. Who, no offense, but I didn't care. You know, I was like, okay, great, another, you know, potential Slayers, you know, come to understand they're a potential Slayer, but so what? You know, they're not activated.
No, this is definitely more important about Dawn her growth.
Yeah, she's not activated. I mean, it's cool that she slays the vampire, but, you know, there's been humans that have taken out vampires. Cordelia even staked the vampire.
So, oh, yeah. You know. But what I liked about her doing it is that she all of a sudden knew how to do it well. Mm-hmm. It's like she was, it's like what they said, you know, why are vampires always, you know, come out of the grave with kung fu skills?
Right.
Right? Well, so does she, apparently. She just didn't know it.
She came out of the box with them and just had never turned them on.
Yeah. So it was kind of fun to see that, you mm-hmm. know, to see her all of a sudden instinctively just go and stake this vampire.
Yeah.
It was kind of neat. Yeah. That was the first time we actually seen a potential do something like that. So I thought that was cool.
Because mostly the potentials, let's be honest, have just been sitting around whining. I mean, right?
We haven't really seen them training or anything yet. They've just been sitting there.
Yeah, to see them do something is kind of cool, you know. So it's
yeah, I liked afterwards when they're back at the house and they're asking all these questions, like, "What did it feel like to mm-hmm. do this?" And that was cool because they need to know that they have the ability to do this. And let's face it, Amanda doesn't look like the strongest person in the world. She seems like she's
a meatball.
And she seems like she's kind of weak, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And she had the power to do this. So that gives some of these other girls that, hopefully, confidence that they can do it too.
But might I remind you that Buffy herself has never looked like, you know, the one that could take you out in the alley. And maybe more so now in the adult life, because I think Sarah Michelle Gellar is a very athletic woman and has always maintained her physique and stuff like that. But early in the show, Brian, she was just a soft little girl. I mean, she's small. She's maybe 5'2", you know, soft little blonde girl. And then she starts kicking vampire butt in the alley. That's supposed to be the turn on its head about this show. And I think they're getting back to that again, that idea of girl power and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's,
oh, yeah.
That's what they want to do. And it's not a bad instinct to go to at this point. We've talked about the Slayers relying on their instincts, Dawn relying on hers. I think it's good that, you know, Rebecca Rancourt and the folks behind this episode, they relied on theirs, that we needed to reinforce that point here again. So.
I agree with you. I agree with you. And, you know, girl power has always been an important part of this series and will continue to be as we move ahead in some of the episodes here. And, you know, they do need to bring that out and show us once in a while, too. Yeah, and I liked it. I thought it was very well done, especially when you contrast with the figures of the Watchers and Giles, who are trying to show that they have the power.
Well, yeah, they're the education. They're the administrators and stuff, but the ones with the real power are the people on the ground. Look, the generals that plan wars have a lot of power, no doubt. But you know who has the real power? The soldier on the ground with his hand on the trigger. And and that just is a different point of view. And I think it's good to be reminded of that the foot soldiers are the ones that really have the power in this universe. And
absolutely.
And buttoned by an incredible little speech with Xander and Dawn at the end. I've always felt like they had a closeness that has always worked, particularly revisiting this show. We've talked about it a lot of times that the Dawn character is so much more enjoyable than the fan base wants to give it credit for. Folks, you go back to it, I'm telling you, it's hard to not like the girl, and it's hard to not see what Xander sees in her, too, and that, you know, he's always noticing these things, and that she is kind enough to repay that compliment back to him. I mean, she could have just sat there and smiled, right? Oh, yeah. But she cares, and, you know, she wanted him to know, well, that's your power, too. And I don't know, I like that whole scene.
It's fantastic, and I hearken back to the episode Nightmares, when we saw Xander's nightmare was basically that Giles had chosen Spike over him to be a Watcher. And I think that in his head, he felt that that's something that he could do all along, was become a Watcher. And I think that this is kind of saying, hey, you know, that's what you do. You watch. You give advice. You do all these things to help people that you don't need special powers to do. You are just there and observing. And that's your power. And I like that because that shows, you know, in the end, you know, Xander has the ability to become a Watcher and start a new Watchers Council, maybe, you know, and we'll see. If you go into the extras in the season 8 as we go forward, that's what he actually ends up becoming, is a Watcher, in the expanded universe there. But, this is kind of laying that seed. I felt it was laid in the Nightmares episode, and now we're saying, hey, look at this again. You know, Xander wants to be a Watcher. Well, that's what he's doing. He's basically taking over for Giles in that sense while Giles is away. And I like that. I thought that was really good because that shows that he may not have Slayer strength. He may not have magical ability, but he has a power, and that power is the same power that Giles has, although Giles has more powers because he's also got the magic behind him as well. Xander's got some power too, and that's good, and Dawn noticing that and bringing that out in him is awesome, I think. And that scene was very touching and a very good exchange between the two of them, and it was just a great way to end the episode.
I agree.
All right, Jay, I think we're at the point of the podcast now where we give our Dustings ratings. So what is your Dustings ratings for episode 12, Potential?
I really liked this. Honestly, even with the false goose chase, again, watching it again, looking at it from the Dawn point of view, made me really appreciate it. It's not perfect by any means, but watching her go through that process and then, again, that great end speech really sells me on most of what happens in this episode. So I'm going to give it a 3 dustings. I think it's a pretty good episode and a fun one to have revisited. So 3 dustings for me.
And I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to give it a 3 dustings as well, a strong 3 dustings. There's a lot of good in this episode. And while I have a gripe about the fact that we want to make people believe that Dawn could be a potential, the way that they do it is well done. And the way that she goes about being herself in this episode and carries herself is well done. And it just shows that she does have some ability to help in this fight. And even though she may not be a potential Slayer or have Slayer strength or any of that, she's a good person to have around because she knows what she's doing. She has the background knowledge and she knows how to use it. And she's got the brain power to get out of sticky situations. So I like that as well. I love the end scene with Xander and Dawn. I think that's huge for both of their characters as we move forward. And overall, just a really fun episode. We get introduced to the first potential to actually do something. That was good. So, 3 dustings for me as well, Jay.
Folks, thanks for joining us on this latest episode in The Art of Slaying. You can find more episodes in the archive section of our website, theartofslaying.com. You can also hook up with us on our Facebook and Twitter accounts. Let us know what you think. We always appreciate your support and your comments. Until next time, for Brian, I'm Jay. Thanks for listening to The Art of Slaying.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer is the copyright of Fox Television Studios, and any discussion of the characters, episodes, or music is strictly for entertainment purposes only.